right.
You want to do the introduction?
Me?
Yeah, you can come in and say, this is your name and you're watching Talking Schmidt.
Oh, you're Talking Schmidt. I didn't realize that was you.
Yeah.
I totally love the one you did with Joe Fong.
Oh, thank you.
Hi, my name is Stacey Carter and you're watching Talking Schmidt.
Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, and all that. I'm Schmitty with another episode of Talking Schmidt, the podcast that comes out when it wants to, apparently, right? I'm just checking in with you, just checking in. Anyway, today, fucking stoked, dude. I got an interview with Ray Meyer, which was good enough. Just that. I was stoked. But check this out. He calls me up. He's like, want to do it at the shipyards. And for you that don't know, the shipyards is where it all began. That's where Fausto went out there and had Independent Truck started. Thrasher Magazine was out there. It's on the Naval Shipyards. You had to show ID to get through the gate to get out there. It was really insane times. That's where Cardiel went through the loop of fire for the cover. All that stuff. Shipyards. Big deal. I started my career at Thrasher and that was going. I spent some time out there with Zawanich. We edited video out there and eventually we're at Underwood where I am today. If you don't know, Ray Meyer was the only person to ever have a signature freestyle board for Santa Cruz out of NHS. He had two models, both done by Jim Phillips. Anyway, you'll learn about that on the show. Before I hand it over to our advertisers, I'd like to let you all know, advertising is always welcome. So hit me up if you're interested, because I could use some support here. And you should already know about the members YouTube sensation that is growing like wildfire. We got three tiers, and I'm about to add some exclusive footage in there in the coming weeks. If you're in the top tier, you can actually submit questions for upcoming guests. So you're actually asking the question. Send me a little video clip. Hello, Brian De La Torre. My name's Tommy. How did you learn how to nollie so well? Whatever you want to do, send it to my way. And also the producers are in the credits because they're helping produce these shows.
Is that real?
If interested, go below. It's all down there in the YouTube world and check it out. April's finally gone. May is here. Check out our new show McKinney and I are producing called Harsh Barge. It's a little satire. It's basically a look at skateboarding from inside a car. No, check it out. Subscribe and like and add the comments below to help me grow. And I appreciate you all. As you know, we got some good ones coming up and we're almost to episode 250. So talk about stoked. Those are my levels. Here's the Blood Wizard Bros advertising with a tickety-tack message, and then Ray Myers. Peace.
3, 2, 1, go!
Blood Wizard. Blood Wizard.
Blood Wizard.
Blood Wizard!
Hey, it's Corey at Blue Plate, 3218 Mission Street. Come see us. Meatloaf, fried chicken, deviled eggs, Dollar Olympia beers. We're here every day of the week. We got a garden, and we got smiles on our faces. Come let us make you happy.
Hello, I'm Ray Meyer, and you're watching Talking Schmidt.
Bro, just wait.
Talking Schmidt. I'm already not watching.
It's cool, like tonight is the night.
Damn, this is like the coolest thing I'm ever gonna do.
Oh, I wouldn't say it was fun.
What do you mean, bro? Christian Fletcher's younger brother.
Fuck the Dodgers.
Oh, big dog's in. What do you think, Dolan?
We on? Schmitty?
Talking Schmidt.
Most of these guys, their opinion don't matter.
Talking Schmidt, right?
And skateboarding.
I remember that.
Talking Schmidt.
Holy shit.
What are Yuns doing?
Okay, yeah.
I'm in your house, dude.
You're gonna come out different.
Oh no, Schmitty, you can't jump in.
What is happening?
I'm here for Greg Smith. Yay!
Gregory!
Yeah, man, chicken bone. Chicken bone, now it's home.
Wi-Fi check one, Wi-Fi check two.
All right, guys, I am tripping right now. I just drove in to where Thrasher started. I haven't been here in like, I think it's 30 years. It's in 1998, me and Paul Zawanich spending the night here editing videos like Thrasher video number 8, Raw, out in the shipyards, too scared to leave after dark. So we were just stuck in here 24 hours. I'm with Ray Meyer. We're gonna get deep to San Francisco roots history. Ray's, I think, the first and maybe only freestyle board made by Santa Cruz Skateboards and CBS, BK, all the guys. We're gonna get into it. It's gonna be a good one. And excuse me if I'm a little jittery because this place is bringing up a lot of emotion. They got a little art show here. First Thrasher, we got Eric and Fausto on the wall. KT jumping a jump ramp. Anyway, Ray, thanks for doing this. I'm sure. So stoked, man.
No problem.
As you can probably tell, I'm a kid at a candy shop. How's it going?
It's going good. Going good. Just retired 4 days ago.
Woo! So. Season tickets?
I'd say it's more of a graduation from work. That's what I call it.
Okay. Did you feel like you had done everything you needed to do?
Never going to do everything you need to do. Just a different transition in life.
What was your career? Like, what were you doing?
I was in the IT world.
Okay.
Started out in the beginning fixing the hardware part of things. Later on, software side of things.
Right.
And then at the very end, I was in charge of a service desk for the last 3 years.
And you're a PC guy, right?
PC guy, yeah.
Okay. We're still going to continue the interview. We're still going to do it.
No Mac, sorry. No Apple. I call them crapples.
Let's start with the beginning. Were you born in the city? Where were you born?
I was born in San Francisco, yes, I was.
At where?
At General Hospital, right?
SF General?
Yep, SF General. Yeah. 1961.
Dang. So you've been here since then? Until you moved away?
Until I moved away, yeah.
Wow, okay. And then when did you first, see a skateboard, get a skateboard? Like, how did that origin happen?
Back, I remember we lived on 9th Avenue, or no, 12th Avenue. We lived on 12th Avenue in the 60s.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember right in 1966 in chalk on the sidewalk, because we had a school teacher next to us. She would give us chalk to write on the sidewalk. And I had a metal wheeled skateboard, and I would skate down the hill. And that went for about a year or so, and then they came out the clay wheels, and for me, that was too fast. So I got off the board for a while, and then we moved away from 12th Avenue, then moved up to Petrel Hill.
Oh, you were in Petrel?
Yeah.
What part?
On Kansas Street.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I was on Missouri for 13 years. Yeah, and Deluxe is right down there now, too. Bottom of the Hill, Parkside, RIP.
Yep.
It's such a sad year. Both of those clubs I spent a lot of time in. Talk a little bit about, did you go down to, what was it called, Winterland?
Winterland?
The amusement park on the beach by Ocean?
Playland.
Playland, yeah.
I vaguely remember that when I was a kid. The biggest thing I remember about that time was getting towed under by the ocean current.
Okay.
And having salt water in my mouth and not happy about that. And swimming at Fly Shacker Pool. That was all this big giant, where the zoo is now, was a big giant pool and salt water and super cold.
Okay.
So,
what other things that are kind of cool from that era don't exist that newer people might not know about? Was there hot air balloons going down the Mission?
I've heard
crazy rumors about so many different things.
That.
I don't know what's real.
I don't remember that. Some of the big things were like when the Bruce Lee movie came out.
Uh-huh.
That was a big deal, especially on Mission Street, because there was a theater that played that, and it was a really big deal.
Okay, yeah. We just had the Phil Shao video premiere at the theater that his dad worked at, Bruce Lee's dad worked at. It was like two blocks from China Banks.
Mm-hmm.
That was all time. I was like, they were telling stories about, I think Bruce Lee was a baby, and maybe he was in there. Like, who knows what's real or not, yeah. But like, it was pretty special. San Francisco's the best.
Yeah.
What was it like for you to, you were skating not on a freestyle board, obviously, at first, right?
Well, the first board I had was a GT board.
Okay.
Grand Tech, yellow, banana-shaped, 24-inch. And I remember skating the streets of Petrel Hill on that. I saw a commercial with Russ Howell riding on his hands and jumping off a curb. And that was it for me. When he jumped off the curb on his hands, I was like, oh, that's just insane. So that's what got me into it. And so some of the neighbors that I had up the street, they had boards, and jumping off the curb was a big deal then. Just going off, 2-inch, 3-inch, 4-inch. So that was a big deal. So I just got hooked on it,
What were some of the early things, like first trick or something that you're doing? Are you going straight to pogo?
One of the things that I remember a lot was we had a schoolyard that's a couple blocks from our house, and we used to have the 50-yard dash that we'd run at the Patrick Henry School.
Mm-hmm.
And we would do tic-tac races and see who could get to the end of the 50-yard dash first.
Uh-huh.
So that was a big thing that we used to do. We found out pretty early that you'd round off the end of your edge of your wheels doing that, and you have to flip them around the other way and that kind of stuff.
Okay.
But just riding down the hills and trying to stay alive was kind of a big deal for us.
Yeah, I mean, when I've talked to Tommy about it, it was kind of, you're just forced to learn how to skate the hills because they're all around you. It's something San Francisco has. And so you're kind of like Mickey, all these guys always skated with speed, mm-hmm. which was always like we gravitated to the guys that skated fast.
Yeah.
It's kind of like when we go to the snow, I just want to go fast. And in skating, if you're going really slow to go off the curb or something, like you better figure out how to do it a little faster, And it all comes from learning how to skate the hills.
Yeah.
Who were some of the early guys that, in skating that you met?
That I met?
Like was Bryce one of your first people?
Bryce and I met at a contest, the Fort Mason contest. I think that was 77.
Mm-hmm.
And we just became friends then and been there ever since. And then Tommy and Tony Guerrero and Camden Scott came around and the whole crew from the Ninth Avenue scene.
Mm-hmm.
They had, we had the Ninth Avenue run that we would go to the top of the hill and run down. Well, we had one like that up on Potrero Hill too, which not too many people knew about, but at least I had my own run, and there was some slappy curves you had to have fun on. And it was sliding down the hills, before you had the things you put down on your hands.
Yeah.
Just trying to slide and not put your hands down was fun. And I remember a set of green OJ wheels that they made that had the metal cores in them, that for some reason when you slid with those, they would leave white marks on the street. So I even did it more. So.
Yeah, we used to tape the gloves and do the layback slides because we saw it in probably the first PAL video or something, I don't know. But then you started you got to stand up and not put your hand down.
Yeah.
It's interesting, at first it was really cool to put your hand down and then it became like a faux pas.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's interesting too. People who don't know that Lombard's not the most curved street in San Francisco. It's actually on the backside of Potrero that goes right down there.
Yep.
Yeah, that's the zone.
Called Snake Hill.
Yeah.
The end of Vermont Street.
So when you come down there and you turn left, then Jake lived right around the corner, right around that liquor store from there. Crazy world. Talk about what was the first things that you were doing? Did you instantly I'm going to go to a contest when you started? You said you met Bryce at a contest, right?
I met him at the Fort Mason. That was actually my second contest. Everything I did back then was influenced by Skateboarder Magazine.
Okay.
Because that was kind of the thing at the time.
Right.
And so you'd see the who's hot and you'd see the trick tips and a lot of the stuff going on back then was either freestyles and the early days of riding pools.
Mm.
San Francisco didn't have a whole lot of pools because the weather's not conducive to where people would have pools.
Mm-hmm.
But there was a couple of them around. I wasn't very good at it, and I didn't like getting hurt, so I was never too much in the pool world. I did like riding skate parks, but that was a lot of fun too. So I started mostly freestyling because that was kind of the big thing back then. That was 76 when I started. 75 is when I started. 76 is when I entered my first contest. It was at the Boys Club in here in San Francisco.
The one that had the ramp?
No, that's the one that's out in the other. This is the one that's off of Valencia, something like that. Oh, Guerrero.
Okay.
And they had a contest there, and we had three events. One was a race to go down and back, and one with a slalom thing around regular pylons, not just, you know, little cones. And you had to go down and had a race go down and back. And I won the slalom race and I won the freestyle part of it. And I got second in the run, the speed part of it.
Damn.
So I ended up getting that. And that was my first contest. And by then I had graduated to a Bennett's Road Rider 4s and a Bonsai board, which those things were deadly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who was, like, if you were going to take a photo out of a mag back there, out of the skateboard mag or whatever, who are you looking at as, like, kind of somebody that you're stoked on?
Back then it was Bruce Logan, Russ Howell, and Pineapple.
Oh.
Paladino.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sick. And then who were...
Of course, Ed Nadlin was in there as well.
Ed Nadlin?
Ed Nadlin, and then Bob Jarvis was the first guy I saw spin on 1 foot and drove me nuts. I was like, there's no way I'm ever going to do that. And of course, I learned how to do that. But yeah, I saw a lot of those guys I saw at the Cow Palace contest.
Oh, there was a contest at the Cow Palace?
Yeah.
Sick.
Yeah.
Was it indoors or in the
indoors.
Parking lot?
Oh, indoors.
Wow, damn.
Yeah, you can probably look it up online, and there's a big, giant wooden ramp. It's kind of like the one they had in L.A. where they had slalom going down the ramp.
Uh-huh.
And then they had freestyle and on the flat ground there.
You seen the footage of Evel Knievel at the Cow Palace?
No.
He's like, I knew I couldn't make it, but everyone was here to see me. I had to do it. And, like, there was not enough landing. He just goes sideways and goes into the wall. And there was, like, a Hell's Angel riot afterwards. It was, like, so crazy. Yeah, Cow Palace is
it's not gnarly, in the best neighborhood. It's
never gnarly was. Area, yeah. Yeah. What were some of the tricks, like, that you know, in your early progressions, like, for freestyle, are you going to the side rail? Are you doing Casper?
In the early days of freestyle, there wasn't any rail tricks.
Oh, it wasn't?
It was wheelies, 360s,
one wheel
stands. It wasn't one wheel because nobody had tight trucks like that.
Okay.
Till later on.
Uh-huh.
Trucks weren't that tight.
Oh, so you were freestyling, like, from the beginning, like, before it was...
75, yeah, 76.
And what were the boards looking like?
Well, like I said, I had a Bonsai board. Then I got the Logan Erski board after that.
Oh, okay.
So we're talking 27-inch boards.
Yeah. And what year did it kind of get down to what I'm thinking of, where it's like the
It wasn't until probably 78, something like that.
Okay.
And I think Matt Barden was kind of the first one that did the symmetrical type boards that, you know, and what's his name? Casper?
Mm-hmm.
I forget what his name was.
Doug Casper?
No, it wasn't Doug.
That's where the trick came out, the Casper? The
Casper disaster is what the first trick was. And you tip the board on the side and you kick it around with your foot and then go. You'd go, you'd ride backwards, kick it on the side, and pivot and then go back on. That was the first side rail trick I ever saw.
Whoa.
I saw it in front of a Lee Cole's shop on Skates on 8. He was just riding there. It's like, just blew me away.
Yeah, talk about that. That's before FTC and stuff. Concrete Jungle's maybe not even there yet, or?
No.
What are you doing for skateboards? Where are you going?
Well, my first board that I got, the Bonsai and that I got at the surf shop out on 41st Avenue.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I can't remember the name of the shop. Wise Surf Shop.
Wise, yeah. I think it might have moved, but I think it's still in existence.
Still be there, yeah. They definitely had more surfboards than anything else. That was their thing.
Uh-huh.
But they just sold skateboards on the side. So that was where I got my first real board. And then after that, you know, I would get it. Cal Precision came along, but Lee Cole was there first for Skates on 8.
Yeah.
So everybody kind of got stuff there that's kind of in the area. And there was a shop that was down near Market Street that was they call it a head shop because they did a lot of blacklight stuff and
bongs
and all that stuff. But they sold skateboards and I got boards there as well.
Yeah,
they were a little closer for us and we didn't have a car, so you catch the bus and get it over there.
We had the same thing. Wicked was in Redwood City. It was a bong shop, and they had a skate thing in the back. But you had to go through all the bongs and the beads and the smelly stuff. Yeah, it was
incense and all that stuff.
Yeah. What year was, like, the
like CBS and the Curb Dogs and all that stuff starts. That's in the 80s more,
that
right?
was in the 80s. I would say that was 86 maybe, 87, something like that.
Uh-huh. And who? How does that kind of all, what's the, like, from you starting skateboarding and kind of like entering a contest here or whatever to that, how does that evolve? Like, what's the story there? Like, who are the key members? How do you, like, how does it come to, like, we're doing Curb Dogs, a video?
Well, Curb Dogs came about, Dave Vanderspeck was the guy behind that. We used to have our whole scene out in Golden Gate Park, and there was bikes and skateboards, and at the time we were just people skating, people bike riding. We would all go out, take our turn, do our stuff. It didn't matter. We kind of built up a little crew of people, and Dave just came up with the idea of making a team and came up with Curb Dogs. And we had this rickety old truck that I actually tried to drive and stand on with both feet to try and stop the thing. And it was crazy times. We'd go do demos at, we did some at parades and stuff like that. And we had, at some points we had some roller skaters come join us that were like D Miles at the school out in Golden Gate Park. He would come to some of the demos with us. And so it was just a fun thing to do.
What year do you think that they start putting like hats down and doing freestyle tricks and people are dropping in dollars? And
I don't remember so much of that out in the Golden Gate Park. We did a little bit of that. Camden Scott was really big about that when we go out to Pier 39.
Yeah, but like that, that was at 80s?
That was at the same time, yeah, okay. Same time.
Because did you go to the Super Bowl? I think people went to the Super Bowl when it was at Stanford and they were trying to like really.
I don't remember that part. Yeah. We did do halftime shows. Santa Cruz got some halftime shows at 49er games.
At Candlestick.
Yeah, we did two of those.
Yeah.
Those were a blast.
There's a photo of Jake on a half pipe, I think. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But that was good fun. And it was weird. It was then I remembered that if you're in a big crowd and you're skating, you don't get nervous. You don't see anybody. It doesn't matter. You're just skating and you're having a good time. There's no routine you have to do. There's nothing you're following. You just do it. And you get these little settings where you got like 20 people. That's when you get nervous and you feel like you're in front of people you have to prove yourself to. So,
yeah.
So it's a different kind of environment.
That's what I was telling my wife the other night. I was like, I think like a huge concert might just be easier because it's so surreal. There's a bazillion people. But if there's only four people in here, you're like, I'm looking at all four of them.
You know? You're under the microscope there.
Yeah. Tell me about California Precision Skateboards on Judah Street.
That was created from Ed Maskell and Ted Maskell, father and son. Ted had worked at Lee Cole's shop on Terravel Street, on Skateboard City, on Terravel Street, and he wanted to make his own shop, and everybody was still doing, we were doing the run on 9th Avenue, and they found a location right at the bottom of the hill and put the shop up there, and it became the hangout for everybody that was going up and down the hill, taking the bus.
So smart.
Yeah. It's like the ski chalet, you know, if you're at the ski slopes, you know, same kind of thing. And, you know, the guy Ed was an amazing guy. He took me a ride in his sidecar, his motorcycle sidecar, and it's one of the scariest things I've ever done. Because I've never been so close to the ground at, you know, even 40 miles an hour, it feels a lot faster than that. He was the first one that did a computer game that I saw. He had a TRS-80. You put in the cassette tape and you play a game on it.
Warm.
I don't remember what the game was. He taped those kind of adventure kind of games.
He
did more of those kind of things.
Uh-huh.
But he was also into these little figures, these like war figure things that he had Parkinson or something. He would just shake his hand, and then when he got to that figure, it would stop, and he could paint perfectly well. Then he took it away, and it would start shaking again. It was really bizarre. Something interesting that I remember about him. And Ted was a skateboarder, and he's the one who, you know, got his dad into doing it, and they'd run the shop. And I ended up working there for a little bit.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, just all fun stuff, just putting boards together and doing all that.
I'm just guessing that at that time it wasn't like Concrete Jungle where like you get vibed coming in if you don't know what you're doing and stuff. It was a little friendlier.
No. It was a lot friendlier. And we actually had a lot of people coming in from, you know, other countries wanting to get boards because they were cheaper to buy. And they would buy two or three boards and take them back with us. We had a little, you know, pinball game in there that people would play.
Oh, tight.
So that was kind of fun.
Yeah. Do you remember when these guys started the mag, January 1981, when the first Thrasher comes out?
I do not, actually.
Really?
I don't remember that at all.
How, or like, what's the earliest Thrasher comes onto your radar?
I don't know the dates, to be honest, because I was just...
Like, was Bryce there already?
No.
You knew of it, like, when it was just KTM Mofo?
Yeah.
Okay.
I do remember when Bryce started working there too. But yeah, the years, I don't remember that.
Right. Yeah, I wonder like what it was like for the transferring of, you know, when they're making the trucks out here and the mag and all the different things like right here, like seriously like 500 feet from where we're at right now or something. It just must have been crazy. These guys like pioneering everything that we're doing now.
Yeah.
And right here in San Francisco, which is...
Yeah, we had no idea, you know, a lot of the stuff we were doing. We were just doing because that's what we did.
Yeah.
We didn't know what we were gonna create that would, you know, move on and become legend kind of stuff, you know?
Who's like one of your first sponsor, somebody gives you something free, or
first sponsor was Cal Precision, obviously. That was the first one.
Okay.
And then Skateboards Unlimited came along. Actually, Skateboards Unlimited was before that.
Oh.
Before the shop had opened, Skateboards Unlimited in San Mateo put me on their team.
Oh, where in San Mateo? Was it on 41st?
No, I don't remember exactly where it was. I want to say it was like 3rd Avenue or something like that.
But, okay.
That didn't last too long, but there's a few guys I remember from that team, and I've actually seen a couple of them. LeBaron Loy was one of them. Machovich or something like that. He's a slalom guy. He's still riding around. But team didn't last too long.
Did you guys go to the Spillway down there?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
That was the first place. So I bought my first skateboard at Go Skate, and... Dale's son, I think Tony, or what, I forget his name, but he is just like, you gotta go up there. There's a ditch and blah, blah, blah. And I go up there, I'm a little kid, and there's like guys smoking weed, drinking beers, and I'm just like, this is everything. What? Whoa! And then it was just on.
The Spillway was definitely something different.
Yeah.
It was not like anything.
Like a downhill ditch-like thing.
Kind of a little wallows kind of a thing.
Yeah. It was such a cool place. And then, so I don't know if you know anything about this, but before Ghost Gate, I believe that's where Mitchell's was, and Tunnel maybe?
I don't remember that before. I don't remember that.
Okay, yeah, I need to figure that one out because I heard that Tunnel and Mitchell were like before the Ghost Gate years, but somewhere in San Mateo County.
Yeah.
So it's always dear to me because I was born in Redwood City.
I'm sure Mr. Blackheart could tell you that.
He's a tough guy to get some words out. He loves to talk about people until you put a camera and a mic on him. Love you, Rick. Well, let's talk about that UC Berkeley contest. We were just talking about that. You were saying there was a, like, what was that like?
That was one of a contest they've had a couple different years.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it was consecutive or not, but they had freestyle. They had an event called Jump Slalom, which I've never seen anywhere else, where they put out these little ramps, and you would go over the ramp, and you'd go around the cone, go over another ramp, go around the cone. They were only like, you know, a foot and a half high maybe, but people had trouble going over them. And you couldn't do it on a slalom board, so you're riding a regular kind of board. We didn't really have street skating per se then, so it was whatever board you had.
Wow.
And then we had they had this big ramp contest, and it was just this quarter pipe that just tried to go up and see how high you could get.
Put a sticker, or like they just do it by eye?
They just did it by eye. There was no sticker, there was no, you know, big airs or no tricks or anything. It was just how high you could get up on it.
And what caliber skaters are there? Is there like people that are in the mags and stuff, or is it more Bay Area? Or
it was more of a Bay Area thing, but there were some people that came from outside, like Steve Rocco was there.
Okay.
I don't remember really anybody else really big besides him that was there. I mean, the freestyle was the thing they had more. There's a guy named Dan Yule that was the biggest guy around at the time. He actually rode for Santa Cruz before I did.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't get a board model, but he was on the team before.
Okay.
He was a year older than me.
And what was your favorite park? There was one at Coyote Point. There's Winchester, Milpitas.
I like Milpitas probably the best.
Uh-huh.
I probably skated more at Campbell.
Campbell.
And Winchester was always fun.
Is Campbell the one that had the washboard?
Yeah.
They replicated at the Vans indoor park later.
Oh, did they?
Yeah.
Well, they had a washboard at Winchester too.
Oh, maybe
that
was
probably the one they...
Okay.
Because that one had a vert wall.
Oh, okay. Yeah, this was a washboard to a quarter pipe.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's okay. They probably got that one.
Damn. So, but your favorite was...
Milpitas.
Milpitas. What was good about that one?
To be honest, the overnight sessions we had were the most fun because all the little kids would be asleep in their sleeping bags, and we would have, you know, older people have the run of the park.
All
which
night.
Is me, Tommy, Steve, Steve Shrewby. We would have the run of the park, and we'd pay tag around the park for hours.
Oh, man.
It was great fun.
When did you meet Tommy and Shrewby and them?
Ooh, Tommy I met, wow, I would say 78, 79 at the very latest. But maybe even 77. But we just met through Cal Precision.
Okay.
When that shop opened, that's when everybody kind of met there. I remember they had tryouts for the team, and Tommy and Tony Guerrero were both there. Bryce was there. A bunch of people that were skating around at the time were there.
Was Tommy, like, from the minute you met him, kind of like the same, like, charismatic style?
Oh, yeah.
He was already
they
Tommy.
They both were. They've always been themselves.
Uh-huh.
They're always themselves.
Yeah.
24/7.
Got to give a lot of credit to Tommy for so much. Like,
yeah.
The hills skating and the Powell videos, I feel like that and some of the pages in the mag brought the whole East Coast here. You know, they were like, we got to go there. Look at that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was an altering event at that time.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
It changed the face of things.
For sure.
Yeah. And even some of the contests, we had some of the early contests out here as well.
Right.
There was one in Gold Gate Park that I remember them having, and Tommy won that.
Yep.
He was an amateur at the time. And
right.
So.
And then I think he won one of the ones in the Fountain too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, those were a little later. The Fountain ones were a little later.
But Golden Gate Park was early, huh?
That was the first one I remember.
Really?
Yeah.
And then they started bringing jump ramps out there. Bryce had one in his car, would take it everywhere. And there, I don't know if it was Saturdays or weekends, but you'd yeah. get like, it would start turning into just a demo basically. Like,
yeah.
Showtime, 4-1 foot, like, yeah. And what's that era like where Mickey and those guys start coming and it's just
well,
like a
launch? I don't remember
launch.
That being in Golden Gate Park.
No? I thought
it
was.
If they did, it wouldn't have been right on JFK Drive. I wouldn't. They might have done it up on the slalom hill or something like that.
Or maybe down at the beach, too, they would do it, I think. I think they were doing it all over the place.
It could be, yeah.
Yeah, and then they started bringing them to walls, and, like, you just saw this progression.
Yeah.
Back then, it feels like, because nowadays, I look back there, and I was like, that was only 1 year where all that happened.
Mm-hmm.
Like, things were going fast, like... You know, you were doing a jump ramp, and the next thing you're doing a ramp to wall, and the next thing you know, Nautis is on the cover, not using a ramp, doing a wall ride, and you're like, what is going on?
Yeah, it was a crazy time.
Yeah. What? When does Santa Cruz and you hook up?
Santa Cruz kind of started 84, something 80. Like that. What happened was I got to know some of the people from Santa Cruz through Steve Mazel. He was the second partner that came along to work at Cal Precision.
Uh-huh.
He ended up going down and working there. So I got to know him, and then later on I got to know Tim Piumarda. And he was the designer for everything, and then Mr. Thinker of things.
Okay.
Whether it's a board, wheels, whatever. He was doing all kinds of crazy stuff.
Was he doing graphics too, or no?
No, he didn't do graphics.
Okay.
But I got to know him really well, and I would just go hang out with him and stay down at his house, and we would go into the factory and just make stuff.
Mm.
And so, you know, they got to know me around the shop down there, and eventually they wanted to have a freestyle board, and they said, hey, you want to do a freestyle board? I said, okay. I had won a contest down at Huntington Beach in the amateurs, and I said, hey, do you want to become a pro? I was like, I guess so.
Who was in the contest that you won?
I remember I got first, Don Brown got second.
Ooh, Don!
Camden Scott was there.
Uh-huh.
I don't remember what place he got. But I do remember getting too happy and doing a handspring on my hands and hitting him in the jaw with my feet as I came back up. So if you ever talk to him, he'll tell you.
Was there any beef between SF and San Jose?
Not that I
not
remember.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, because I was always good friends with
Ray Gardia.
Yeah, Ray Gardia and Anthony. They were all good guys.
Yeah.
There might have been a little animosity between the Motobilt guys and the Indy guys.
More trucks, huh?
More truck related.
But yeah, I think Glowing and Indy. Yeah. I remember when Fausto started Indy, all the guys tell me the stories that like they would go to the contest and just be like, those trucks suck, you gotta ride for Indy. Like, yeah. Just like kind of bustle them over. And,
I'm not surprised.
Yeah, I love that though. I think those ethos is what drew us to the skating. You know, it's a lot different now, but like having like those, just like it was like, I don't know, Hell's Angels of skateboarding, basically. It mm-hmm. seems like just like dudes that were like not caring so much, and then Jake came and kind of continued that to almost a dramatic level. But what was it like to have your own freestyle board? Are you getting to get sent on trips? Like, do they send you anywhere?
There wasn't too much of that. I would do demos here and there, but mm-hmm. nothing out of the country. Just a couple places back east and stuff. No, nothing outrageous.
Mm-hmm.
No Hawaii, no Indonesia, because I know they had a big Indonesia tour and
no.
didn't get to do any of that kind of stuff.
Dang, they sent Fedge over you.
Yeah, well, he was a ramp skater. That's what sold boards. Freestyle boards didn't sell, so.
Yeah. Who did the graphic?
Jim Phillips, of course.
Oh, he did do it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, the first board was all done with Bryce's photography. They were all taken at his house. the picture of me laying down in bed is his bed. You can see all the slats on the, that's his deck of his mom's house.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was all good fun. And someday, I hope, Bryce, if you're out there, I'd like to see those pictures. I've never seen them.
Not if Bryce is out there. You are out there, Bryce. I see you. Yeah, no, that's sick. He did Joe Lopes too, like that, like
the ball thing.
Yeah, you know? Like I learned so much stuff. I think Mofo did the Tommy one that I always thought was a burning sword, but it's actually the front of a grill of a car.
Yeah,
it's insane. Like so much cool stuff from that era.
And now, another first impression from Timothy Donald McKenney.
What's up, Talking Schmidt? I'm so fired up about this one. And first impression is my first pro skateboarder ever. Go Skate, Homa, the dad, shout out Dale. Took me to my first contest, done at a Quartermasters. I walk in and there is Ray Myers with this freestyle board, glowing white with that Skippy on it. And he's like the nicest guy in the fucking world. And he's in his setup. So he like literally looks like he just came from Oceanside contest circa 83 or whatever, right? So fire. I think 86. Anyways, this is going to be the show that I've been waiting for. And I've been harassing Ray on his YouTube channel. Go check it out for a while. And as soon as I told him to show me the Ray, he disappeared. Because he probably thought I was some creep. I'm sorry about that. But let's show us the Ray. The Ray fucking Meyer.
Ding.
So what was like, did you skate in some pro contests, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I see about maybe five or six of them, really. Not a ton of them.
Do you show up at any of the ones, like big, like Del Mar somewhere, Del Mar, Rodney Mullen?
I did Del Mar. I did Oceanside. That was one of the bigger ones,
Oceanside. Yeah.
I really liked the Oceanside concerts because you had a big area and the people were had seats they could sit in and nobody was crowded in a little tiny space.
Uh-huh.
It was always kind of warm. That was the only downfall.
But right, we're used to.
You're right there in the ocean. You can always go
yeah.
jump in the water if you want to.
What's a run consist of? Is it like a minute and a half?
Usually for the pros, it was 2 minutes.
2 minutes.
Yeah.
And so, what's your routine? What do you start out?
It depends. It really varied from contest to contest.
Really?
Based on whatever.
It's not like a dance thing where it's like first I do this, then I flip it, and then I dang.
You usually if you did it to your music, that's how you dictated. What your run was going to be was based on what the music was like.
Did we have Rush out there? What kind of?
We had a couple Rush songs. We had some Journey songs. I had to have Rush, of course.
Hell yeah. We're going to see Rush actually in the East Coast with the new female drummer.
Oh yeah, we're going on the one here in San Francisco.
Are you? Yeah. Dude, you got to. It's like,
yeah.
Rush is amazing.
Yep.
But yeah, so like what?
In fact, that's part of what's on this shirt right here. This is a Ray Meyer shirt, and this is my son came to me and asked me, you know, I want to have a tattoo of you.
No way.
Yeah, so he said, I want to incorporate things you like. So this is based on the Rush 2112 album.
2112, yeah.
Yeah, so this was a graphic that was taken from one of the Decompose boards that Witter makes for me, and put all this together, and it's got the SS of Giants in here. It's got you know, my Speed Racer helmet right on there. So, and then it's got, you know, the Bay Area, San Francisco in the background.
That's tight. Who made that?
Crab Scambi, I think is how you say his name. He's an artist that does stuff all the time.
Nice.
He's very famous for these little guys, these little gremlin guys he got. He did this graphic for my son, and he did another graphic for my daughter. So she's got a tattoo of me, too.
So your son comes up and says, I want a tattoo of you, Dad. And you're like, has to be this big on your chest.
No, it's not on his chest. It's on the back of his leg. It's on the back of his leg.
That's amazing, though.
Yeah, so wow. So I did him a solid and said, you know, can you make this into a board? And I said, a tribute to my son, Matt, on the graphic on the board.
Right.
So it's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes you get lucky.
Yeah. Things have been good family-wise. Yep. You come from a big family, right?
Yeah, five brothers and two sisters.
Right.
Yeah.
Whoo!
I'm lost in the middle there somewhere.
We got one of them in the house.
Yep.
When and how does the ramp in your backyard happen?
How it happened, I'm not exactly sure.
I bet Bryce. A big enough yard, we can do it!
I'm sure it was Bryce. I have no idea where all the wood came from, but yeah, we all built that stuff and had a great time with it. I remember coming home from work one day, you know, and you could see it in the pictures in the Thrasher magazine that I'm riding in my suit.
Yeah.
And on the ramp.
Right.
And it was Tony Guerrero's board, and he just gave me the board and said, can you do a picture? And, you know, so I did a grind.
You were in your suit, yeah.
I was in my suit.
Yeah.
I didn't even change my clothes at all. Same shoes, everything. So, and that picture came out really good, so.
What was the vibe, like neighbors, family?
We have a little bit of space between us and we're not so jammed together like some of the other houses.
Yeah.
So I don't remember hearing any flack from the neighbors. I mean, other than the neighborhood itself.
Right. Which, it was like alimony out there somewhere, yeah. Right?
But, you know, parking in our neighborhood was always kind of a challenge. So you might get some flack just parking more than anything else. I don't remember any kind of flack from the ramp.
So that was that, I don't know what years that was, probably 85 maybe?
Oh, it had to be after that.
87?
I would think 87 at least.
Okay, because I was working at Go Skate and Larry Troche was the manager and Oscar Polchowski worked there with Fedge.
Yeah.
And Bryce to them, to us, and all of a sudden we're in your backyard skating like once in a while. And so that was when I was like, I'm getting to skate the same ramp that Eric Dressen had a photo on.
Yeah.
And just like what was, were you there for anything where you're like, this guy's in my backyard, this is insane, like seeing some like good sessions?
Because, you know, all the skaters that we had in San Francisco were so good anyway.
Uh-huh.
It's just another, you know, the guy coming over to skate.
Right.
It wasn't.
It wasn't like that.
There wasn't anything like that.
Okay. Because later we had a ramp in our backyard, and Wade Spire, before I met him, was skating with Bryce, taking photos, and I came home from work, and I was like, dude, Wade's in the backyard! Like, you know, like, just a fan-out moment. But the craziest thing is, people aren't going to believe this one, but it's true. Somehow that ramp ended up in my backyard.
That's what you told me. I'd never known that all these years. I'd never, until you told me that.
So I don't know if you, were you friends with Larry?
Larry.
From Go Skate?
I must have
like
been.
A big guy with black hair, long hair. He's kind of like.
When you mentioned Oscar, I know Oscar.
Okay, yeah.
I actually did demos with Oscar down in San Mateo.
Then maybe it was through Bryce, but I always thought you and Larry had a connection. And then those guys were talking about like he has to, did you have to take it down or you wanted to?
We had to. There was an event that happened where somebody took a cigarette butt and threw it in. It just happened to go through a hole in the wood in the house.
Oh.
Lit the side of the house on fire.
Oh.
It wasn't super terrible, but it was enough to say, for our dad to say, you know, it's got to go. We had no room to argue at all. It was like, okay.
How, it was there for at least a couple of years, right?
That's what I want to say, a year and a half, 2 years, something like that.
Was there some BMXing on it?
Matt Hoffman showed up once.
No way. See, that's what I'm saying. Like, something like that where you're like, Nodis is here, what the heck? You know, like, oh my God. So the craziest thing is, so I don't know if I told you the full story is, I don't know how I got it, but we ended up going up, getting it and bring it down there and then getting some extra wood and like repairing certain areas from the move. And before I did it, I went to all the neighbors. I was like, this is what we're doing. I need your blessing. And also like, we're gonna be super courteous. Like if you want us to stop at 5 or whatever, like let's just get this out of the way, right?
Yeah.
And everyone was like super cool. 3 months or however long it takes to build the ramp. And literally like the first week, the neighbor's like, you can't have that. And we're like, we already talked to you about this. Like, what do we have to do? Like, we're gonna soundproof it. Like, we're just finishing it. And they're like, oh, we didn't know this is what was coming. And like, I was like mortified. And me and my mom went over there one night. I remember talking to them and just trying to be so polite and be like, we'll do whatever, like, this is a dream come, and they're like, sorry, it's not gonna work. So we literally had the ramp in my backyard, I wanna say less than 3 months.
Wow.
Like, once it was finished, and we would just skate it every day going, we have to tear it down in like a month or whatever it was. And the police came one day and they were like, you can't skate here. And I was like, this is our own property. You said we can't skate in the street. We can't skate the sidewalk. We can't skate downtown. Now we can't skate in our backyard. What is wrong with skating? Like, come on. So it was like, yeah, that's the crazy connection though, like that you and I have.
Yeah.
And then I'm talking to you about this and literally like, I was like, oh, we should do an interview for the podcast. And you're like, yeah, I'm down. And then like a week later, I'm at the Giants game in the upper deck. And you walk up and you're like, hey, what are you doing? I'm like, what?
Yeah.
So those connections are just like, yeah, bizarre. It's really neat. I wanted to do a quick like little this or that. I wrote a few things down.
Okay.
Pie or ice cream?
Oh, ice cream.
Rush or Led Zeppelin?
Rush.
Ray Gardia or Bob Schmelzer?
Ray Gardia.
Pogo or Casper?
Ooh. How about neither?
The Mission or the Avenues?
The Avenues.
Taco or burrito?
Taco.
2112 or Moving Pictures?
2112. All day. Every day.
And Giants or 49ers?
Giants.
49ers have never left San Francisco. You're Santa Clara forever. Bye. it's nice every time they get in the playoffs. I'm like, they're cursed. They can't win it down there. I know it's not going to happen. What's the best thing about living up in Sacramento for you?
My family's there.
Oh, yeah.
That's wherever the family is, that's where it is. The place doesn't matter.
Family first, always.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What's the worst thing up there?
The heat.
The heat. You like it colder better than hot? Because you're from the city.
I would take, if you're talking snow, I'll take heat over snow.
Oh.
I'm not.
So you're not Tahoe bound in the winter?
No.
Okay.
No. If there's snow, I don't go.
Do you got any weird Felper stories at all?
Felper?
Yeah, Jake Phelps.
No, not really.
Did you guys have a connection with him? Did you try to avoid him when you saw him, or was it?
I would say if I had to choose one or the other, I would avoid him.
Yeah. Okay.
But I knew him before he got onto the magazine and all that stuff.
Uh-huh.
When he had worked at the shop that was out there.
Do you feel like he changed, or was he always the same?
Well, I moved away and didn't know much after that.
Uh-huh.
And when I moved away, and back in like 1990, 91, that's when I kind of checked out of skateboarding a lot.
But you were around when he worked at Concrete Jungle with Tommy,
yes.
Right? So would you go into that shop ever when he was working?
Oh, yeah. He wasn't terrible. But it was not like I ever didn't want to talk to him or anything.
He wasn't the nicest.
No.
He was scared the hell out of me. And when he offered me the job, I was like, this is not an easy decision. Like Thrasher is an easy decision. Working with you, not an easy decision.
Okay.
And so it took me a minute, but it was like, I have to try. But first time I met him was in Concrete Jungle, and it was getting close to closing. I walked in and I'm looking through shirts, and he's like, hey, who's gonna put those shirts back? And I was like, I'm just like, okay, I gotta go. Like it was like, stuff like that always would just be like, whoa. What's the most scared you've ever been?
The most scared?
Mm-hmm.
When I saw a truck come at me. It was actually not a truck, but I was on the freeway and this car was jackknifed in front of this semi. And he was coming into my lane and I had to swerve away from him. I thought I could get around it, but he clipped my back in and then I went straight into a wall. So that's probably the scaredest I've ever been.
Whoa. Damn, we had a near-death car thing in Arizona one time, and like literally for 2 days, we still were like,
yeah.
You have that weird, like it's like trauma that you can't kick really right away. You're like, we almost just died, like literally. You're still skating now though, right?
Mm-hmm.
How often, like what are your vibes?
Often is not a good word, because it's not enough.
How
but
often
now that
do
I'm
you
retired, it will be better.
How often do you change wheels?
How many years?
Are they yellow or are they white?
They're yellow. I got.
So we're on the same page.
I got a new board set up just last night.
Oh, okay.
So, gonna ride some of the Powell wheels and see how they work.
Mm.
So,
okay.
I rode some out in last month. I came out and rode some, and they seem really smooth and a little more forgiving than some of the other freestyle wheels I have.
Are you mostly just skating like regular, or do you pull the freestyle board out sometimes?
Oh, I just do the freestyle board.
You do?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Got to get back some of the tricks that I lost over the years.
Yeah? Have you been?
Slowly.
Yeah.
I need to go skating more than once a month, and that'll start happening.
What do you think if somebody's like a beginner, they're just learning, what's like one of the first things that like you could teach them? Like, here's a trick you could actually do.
You don't teach them a trick first.
No.
You teach them how to ride.
No, I know, yeah, obviously. But I mean, you got your balance, everything, but you're like, freestyle, I want to try this. Like, I know how to skate, but I don't know how to like go up to the rails or do the flip thing or like Casper or anything.
I'd like to do the end overs first, do some of those kind of things.
Oh, yeah.
Staying on your wheels, I think, gives you the balance to do whatever else you want to do after that.
Uh-huh.
And doing endovers and learning even half a spin or a 360, I think are the kind of the foundations I started with.
Yeah.
So I'd like to teach them the old school stuff first. And anybody can get up on a rail at some point. You don't need to do that. You know, if you're in an area
you
where you can ride the skateboard.
You just need trucks that are the right width with
you,
the board.
You do.
Yeah.
But you know, any of the rolling tricks, you don't. Doesn't matter what board you have.
Mm.
You can do the endovers on any board.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you look at the modern popsicle, they're not much different than a freestyle board.
You got the two boards, what is it called, the Daffy?
Daffy, you can teach them that too. But yeah, that's not one that gets used a whole lot these days. But
what's the, I always say the gnarliest, but like, what's the coolest thing in your mind that you were there for that you saw happen on a skateboard?
It would have to be Tony Hawk's 900.
Oh, you were there?
I was there. That was just...
Right here under the Bay Bridge. Yes. That changed everything.
Oh, that was huge. That was the hugest thing I ever, at the time that I ever seen.
Yeah.
Next to that, when I started seeing the Mega Ramp stuff.
Yeah.
I just love the Mega Ramp.
Were you've been to Mega Ramps?
I have not, but just watching it on just next level stuff.
Yeah. Wow.
Seeing the, what's the name, go over the China Wall of China.
Danny Way.
Yeah.
Jake was there. Yeah. He ate it the night before, maybe broke his ankle or something.
Yeah, I saw the story on that,
Oh my God, that's insane. Well, if you were gonna be a part of a documentary, like you're helping direct it, on skateboarding in San Francisco, the history with Thrasher, with the beginning till now, like what are like the chapters for you that are like the most important?
For Thrasher, obviously the foundation of it being this place here, right here, Irmico.
Mm-hmm.
getting together the people that were there at the beginning and getting their stories, that's really what makes the most sense.
Mm-hmm.
The skaters that were there at the same time, Tommy Guerrero, Jim Thiebaud, a lot of those guys that were there at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know a lot of the other skaters other than the ones that were around us at the time, but there's a good number of people. The times, the different times throughout the years, I kind of checked out.
Right.
Had the family right around 1990. So
okay.
So my involvement with the skateboard scene was drastically cut at that mm-hmm. point.
Got
and
it.
There's a whole section of, like when, who's the guy that did that movie or the TV show? He was a pro skater, and then he...
Rob Dyrdek?
No. He did his own show, Earl or something like that, some Earl. My name is Earl.
Oh, yeah. Jason Lee.
Jason Lee.
A real TV show, not a skateboarder. Yeah.
When I heard that, because I liked that show and I watched it, I had no idea who was ever a pro skater. That's how much I had checked out.
Yeah.
I didn't know about World Industries, any of that stuff.
Oh.
That whole scene when Rocco and...
Like, were you friends with Rocco?
I was not friends, but I could say hi to him.
So you'd see him.
I see him at the contest and stuff.
I mean, that guy's story is insane. Oh yeah, because you mentioned Irmico. At the time that they were making the trucks and stuff and figuring all that stuff out, do you think there was like a lot of pride from the skaters that like, was there a realization that this is coming from our city, or did that kind of like happen later looking back on it? Like, do people realize the importance at the time?
People realize it because we started seeing the stroker trucks.
Yeah.
We saw rebound trucks. And then we saw Indies.
Uh-huh.
So we got to see some of the failures. And to be honest, the stroker truck was an amazing engineering.
It had shocks, right?
It didn't have shocks, but it had turning mechanisms. Mm-hmm. It had springs in there to limit the turning.
Yeah.
Like the bushings do.
Okay.
So that technology was based off of cars. And they were the oddest trucks in the world, but it was different. Mm-hmm. And they were taking chances. And I thought it was genius that they took the Bennett trucks, which were my favorite trucks, and everybody was copying their turning.
Mm-hmm.
There was the magnesium trucks that came out. ECS trucks were a lot like that. And the Tracker had the bushing on the top, the bolt on the top, which was a much easier way of doing it. There wasn't the two nuts and bolts that you had to do on the others where you needed a skate key or a wrench.
Mm-hmm.
So putting those two together made a lot of sense, so.
Yeah, it seemed like they were really smart or just.
And the first ones I saw were the suspension trucks. It wasn't even the regular ones.
Okay, yeah.
The Buck Brothers.
Oh, okay.
Had those down at
what the, were the Cadillacs? There was Cadillacs, right?
Cadillac wheels.
Oh, Cadillac wheels. Yeah. That's what everybody rode. Like
that
when
was
I
before,
asked people,
that was before Road Riders.
Yeah.
Independence came out after the Road Riders did.
Okay. All right. Well, what's going to happen this year with the Giants? Give me some predictions.
Since I haven't watched any spring training, I don't know, but I have a new coach.
How do you feel about a college coach?
I don't know what to feel yet. I haven't even looked at him yet.
Okay.
I have to hold my reservations
on
that.
The Dodgers have like the all-star team and it seems
to me, I look at the Dodgers, it's about time they won it.
Yeah.
It's about time.
Yeah. They win the division every year, but they can't win the World Series. Well, I got faith. I can't help it. I just go to the games every year, no matter what. I always have Candlestick. We used to go and have the bleacher seats that had you could just go sit wherever you went, first come, first serve. So you would meet your friends out there, and it was, that really turned me into a baseball fan, just having
that. We used to go
to
the Twi-Night doubleheaders. Do you remember those?
Yeah.
The coldest games in baseball.
Yeah, and then they'd have the Croy to Candlestick pin if it was extra innings at night.
I remember going to one of the games, sitting in the upper deck, and watching the fog go below me. So.
Oh, I was at the last, I was at Paul McCartney last event ever at Candlestick. So that's always, and I was at the last 49er game.
Yeah,
those things are important.
I saw the Rolling Stones there.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then I've been to every opening day at the new stadium for the Giants.
Oh, nice. I'll have to send you a video my brother has. He helped build the stadium. Company helped build it.
Nuh-uh.
And he's got this video where they're testing out the horn, the foghorn that the Giants have, and he's in the room with it. And it's just this massive blast of, of a horn right in the same room. It'd be like doing it in here. It's like, it's deafening. And you could tell just even, you obviously don't get the full volume of it, but just their reactions to it.
Wow.
It's crazy.
Is Rolling Stones, what's your best concert you ever went to?
Best concert? Ooh, that's tough. It's got to be the R40 tour for Rush.
Where was that?
In Las Vegas.
Oh, dang.
Yeah, that was pretty fun. And I got to go there with my son, so that was kind of a cool moment.
Neil Peart?
Yeah.
YYZ? Drums up, spinning?
All of that.
I saw it at Oakland Coliseum, and I was just like, my mind was blown.
I've seen him three times, and it's been good every time.
They're tough to beat. That's a good band. You either love them or hate them, though. Some people don't like the voice or whatever. But
so my daughter's got me into 21 Pilots, so I've gone to three of their shows, and they're good, too.
Okay. So you're going to shows still?
Sometimes, if they're worth going to.
Yeah. What, up in Sac?
Well, we've gone to Sacramento. They've done the San Francisco one, the stadium they have for the Warriors.
Mm-hmm.
And then we did Oakland before they had the San Francisco one. So three different places.
There you go. We did it. Anything else you want to throw out there?
Not really. Just
we got the first Thrasher mag right here. Nike's on the shoes, and Thrasher just made a collab with Nike with the reverse colorway of those shoes.
Oh, wow.
So that's kind of neat. 45 years this year of Thrasher, and so five more till 50. We're holding on. The only skateboard magazine still in print here started. And this has just been a big moment. I want to give a big shout out to you guys for letting us do this. And also Shirugi and Bryce for kind of being instrumental in everything we do, but also like kind of putting me and Ray together for this interview. I think Shirugi was a middleman on some conversation pieces and just verified I'm a decent person. So I appreciate that. Thank you guys for tuning in. We'll be back as soon as we can with another episode. So thank you, Ray. Appreciate it.
Always fun.
Yes.
We got to give a shout out to our three producers who are helping us stay on the airwaves. This is Nomad Skateboards. We got Jacob Stokely and Billy Rabin. Those are the producers. Their names are in the credits. And those are the big dogs in the membership group. And I can't thank you guys enough. Ciao.
And now, a word from our sponsor, Oro Coffee. That's some damn good coffee. Order one or six bags at orocoffeeroasters.com.
Y'all like music? Because you're listening to SMFM.
How are you? How you doing? I'm doing great. It's nice for you to see me. I'm seeing you in our mind's eyes. And the eyes of our minds, the ears of our heads, mind's heads, mine head to yours, from my hand to yours. Welcome to SMFM, a production of Talking Schmidt, where this episode, we're going to travel all the way to Blue Lake, California. That's Humboldt. And it's Earth Day when I'm filming this. When are you going to see it? We don't know. Will the Earth still be here? We don't know. Happy Earth Day to you. All right. This band from Blue Lake, California is called Magic of Spell. And this song is called Drowning of the Wicked. And I hope you enjoy it.
have some fun. With some pods and some musics and some word talking. That I'll do back and forth with everyone. Alright, that's enough for me, y'all. This has been another presentation of SMFM, bringing you the hottest tracks from the most unknown bands from everywhere. Tune in next time. Send me a DM. I get lonely in this little box. It's kind of cool, though. All right, peace. Love you. Bam.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Talking Schmidt. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes, Anchor, Spotify, or anywhere you get your podcasts. When you subscribe, you'll get notifications every Tuesday of new episodes the minute they become available. Also, please leave reviews and a 5-star rating. It's the best way to help the show grow. All of the episodes will always remain free, but if you would like to help support the show, you can do so at talkingschmidt.com, where you can pick up some merchandise like t-shirts, beanies, hats, and stickers. The website has an entire archive of all of the episodes, with extra photos and videos. Email us with any suggestions, comments, or ways that the show may have improved your life at talkingschmidt@gmail.com. All interviews are conducted, edited, and produced by Schmitty. The intro music is Mary's Cross by the band Nature. A very special shout out goes to the executive director, Cheryl Camisa.
Shout out.
Love it!
This is Talking Schmidt, where the Rolodex is deep, but the conversation is deeper.